Lake Effect continues now on Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Teich. Shakespeare in the Park is a pretty well-established concept and one that puts the idea of all the world's a stage into practice. A Milwaukee-based theater troupe is now into its second season of putting its distinctive spin on the concept.
Summit Players Theater collaborated last year with the Wisconsin DNR to produce A Midsummer Night's Dream in state parks around Wisconsin. The group says this year's season is bigger, badder, and bartier. Hannah Klapperich-Miller is the co-founder and executive director of Summit Players, and Maureen Kilmurray is directing this summer's productions. There are two of them, which I'll explain momentarily.
But Klapperich-Miller first explained how the company has evolved since its first season.
At the outset of last year, we thought that this was going to be kind of a one-off project, and we didn't really know what the future was. And as the season went on, the audience interaction and the feedback that we got from people in the parks was so positive that at the end of the summer, we were like, the number one thing that we learned is that we need to continue doing this. So we tried to figure out how would be the best way to do that. And a big learning curve that we've had over the course of the year is becoming a nonprofit organization.
Right, you're a 501c3 now.
Yes, that is correct. So for a bunch of recently graduated theater majors, the process of becoming a 501c3 is rather difficult, but a good learning curve. And another thing that we have learned is just ways that we want to continue to involve the community in our project and our process. So we want to give the audience more opportunity to interact with us, and that was one of the reasons that we decided to do two shows this year and before each performance let the audience pick which one they'd like to see.
And that seems, I don't know, that seems crazy.
Whose idea was that?
Whose idea was that?
I'm not totally sure. It was probably mine. But it may be crazy because it is kind of an experiment that we're trying out. But because all of our props and costumes come out of a trunk, two shows will be able to fit into perhaps a slightly larger trunk, perhaps a slightly larger suitcase additionally. And we'll be able to have everything prepped to the point that we can snap our fingers and then go into either one.
Well, and I feel like we talked a little bit about this last year. The stages that you're working on, depending on what park you're playing at, could be completely different. Mm-hmm. And it boggles the mind to think that you could be ready for anything or ready for either of these two plays on a stage one night that looks completely different than the stage that you worked on the day before or the week before.
Well, there's givens that stay the same that we can control. All we ask from the parks is a picnic table, and that's kind of it.
Most parks have those on hand.
Some have amphitheaters, some don't. But that is sort of something that we can ground our blocking along that, and the trunk that everything is in, and that becomes a seating unit or something that the actors can stand on. And then we have our banner, and that delineates between backstage and front of stage, and people go back there to change and all that sort of thing. So that remains a consistent. But some stages are smaller, in which case the actors they were just brilliant last summer in terms of adapting, sussing it out, looking at it, going, well, this scene will have to be down here. We'll take it off of the stage in the little apron on the ground in front of the audience. Or the audience would be really wide, and so it changes sightline issues a little bit. Or if I'm sitting down here for this scene, I think I need to be standing for this particular configuration. And it's very much, just thinking on their feet, getting a sense of, can I be seen, not seen, heard, whatever. And
how challenging are the acoustics in these places?
It varies.
Quite challenging. As one of the performers, one of our biggest things that we had to prepare ourselves for was this totally open space where our voice doesn't really bounce off of anything except maybe trees. And it was very difficult in the beginning to be able to open up our throats enough to be able to make that much sound and sustain it throughout an entire performance.
And you had some audiences, what was the biggest, 145 or something
like
that?
About 150, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And some that were very small. And some places, if there was more of a bowl and the audience is coming up, your voice doesn't quite go out to nowhere quite the same way. But they all kept rising vocally to meet that challenge. And but so it isn't just yelling, you know, you
right.
still get the characterization and the
There's
emotions.
A dynamic
stuff.
Range, but the dynamic range is, you know, loud to louder.
Yeah,
that's correct.
Right.
Yes.
you rethink what normal level is.
Mm-hmm. Remind me, why is Shakespeare the right playwright for this? Why are we not talking about Chekhov in the State Park or Beckett in the State Park?
Because Chekhov's our comedies. We really should think about that.
I think my sort of standard answer to that is because it is already an existing phrase, an existing brand that people are familiar with, Shakespeare in the Park, Shakespeare in the State Park. And so it has a kind of allure and a culture associated with it. But then the idea of Shakespeare's particular way that he made his characters and stories so universal and the entire range of human experience, they're consistently fun to watch, whether they're tragedies or comedies. And so bringing them out into a park where the whole world seems bigger and more open to you, it seems to fit.
And when you're working on them, both Midsummer and As You Like It, there's so many references to nature and the forces of nature, and especially in As You Like It, with the letters being hung on the trees and stuff, and we want to be able to try and take advantage of that. And that in itself is another layer of humor almost, as the audience is there in the natural beauty that's referenced in the play.
You mentioned the challenge of making sure everybody can hear you in a setting like this. Some of these, many of these performances are in the evening. How challenging is it for people to see you?
We have planned it well enough that we know down to the minute when sunset happens. Thank you, Google. And we just tried to push it forward enough. Our shows are short.
But they're an hour long, right?
Right. They're about an hour and 15 minutes. And the sun is usually starting to set, and we're in dusk by the time we come to our sort of eerie end of each play.
Which kind of makes it atmospheric mm-hmm. as night is falling or whatever. We do have lanterns incorporated into the blocking right at the end, should it be darker than usual for any reason. So far, knock on wood, it's worked out for us.
Did weather cause any problems last year?
We were extremely lucky last year. We had one very, very hot day and one very, very cold day down at Lakeshore State Park in Milwaukee. But we had no rainouts. We had one day where we were rained on, but the audience stuck it out and we were under kind of a large tent.
Now, you mentioned that audience feedback and kind of interactivity was a key reason you wanted to keep going this year. How is feedback and the kind of interaction you have with the audience in a setting like this and a series like this different than what you experience in other places doing other work?
Because the actors are right there setting up in front of the audience, tearing down in front of the audience, we're so accessible for families to come up to us and speak to us. We had a lot of instances last year where children would come up and ask to use our props. There was one little boy who was really enamored of our water guns that we used to cast our spells in Midsummer. Families, mothers would come up to us and say, "We enjoyed this so much. Thank you for doing this. My kids like Shakespeare now. Amazing." And we also are going out into the audience at the end. It's very easy for us to spark up a conversation.
And there's also a lot of audience participation built into the shows themselves, where we have them be sound effects for us. And so they're participating, and I think that really helps as well.
It's really a group effort. It's mm-hmm. not actors and audience separated.
Mm-hmm. Well, and do you get a different sort of adrenaline rush from maybe adrenaline rush is the wrong way to put it, but a different sort of enjoyment out of doing what you do in a setting like this versus a more traditional theater setting?
For me, that's 100% true. I loved being close enough to the audience that we could see the kids in the front row who were starting to act out the story along with us, who were kind of speaking during the play. They were adding their own commentary. But that was the best because it was so clear that they were understanding the story and wanting to participate in it. So that makes my heart feel warmer than just about anything else.
And it's just fun being together outside doing this. It's a totally different experience than being inside a windowless building and rehearsing and trying to create a world. Here, there's just a freedom and a joy that kind of comes out of us being together and working outside and schlepping somewhere and rehearsing there too, and having people stop who've been walking in the park and just sort of like, oh, who are you guys? What are you doing? You know, it's wonderful.
And it sounds like it makes the challenging business aspect of this worth it.
Definitely, yes.
You deal with that more than I do, so.
Well, with that said, and I realize as we're having this conversation, it's on the cusp of the second season, but does this strike you? Is it going to be a continuing effort?
That's the goal. That's the dream, yes. I would love it if there were generations of kids in Wisconsin who grew up going to Shakespeare in the State Park, that every year where their family goes camping, you can check the schedule and see, oh, are the Summit Players or whatever group who will end up doing a play that year, are they going to be here when we're here this year? What show are they doing? That would be wonderful if mm-hmm. if kids could grow up and then look back and say, hey, that was one of my favorite things when we went camping or living near a state park, that we had theater available to us all over the state.
Well, now I have to ask, you're putting this on in places, far-flung places, you know, it's Rib Mountain or Harrington or wherever. Are you then driving all the way back after an evening performance, or do you go off to a tent as well?
We do, and that's another way that is actually fun to interact with the people in the park. Sometimes it's when the ladies go to the bathroom together in the night to brush their teeth. We can interact with some of the people who saw the show. Yes, the part of our collaboration with the DNR and the park system is that they offer us free lodging for the night of our performance. So we'll try to stay there if there is a campground, and that's part of the fun of it as well. So we're trying to, we scheduled our shows this year that they're clumped a little bit more regionally so we can not have such crazy drives in between them. But yeah, they're pretty far, some of them.
Well, thank you both so much. Congratulations on the second season, and come back and see us again.
Well, thank you so much, Mitch.
We'd love to. Thank you.
Hannah Klapperich Miller is co-founder and executive director of Summit Players Theater. Maureen Kilmurry is directing this summer's productions of As You Like It and A Midsummer Night's Dream. The company performs at state parks around Wisconsin.
Their next performance is Friday evening at Three Bridges Park in the Menominee Valley with a workshop beforehand. You'll find a link to their complete schedule at WUWM.com.